Got you.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Hello.
We're waiting for another person.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
I am. We
Good.
are.
I just got back from England, so I'm a little out of it.
It's nice to hear from you.
You too.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gula Jimmy Ha 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 Kufre Shayam Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dor Vat Sham Nun Gimbal Dalid Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Taharem Lakame Sitkata Bet Bet Resh Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kap Chin Barhem Tacharem Bet Bet Resh Badi Taf Gimel Chasim kadosh Tet kuf bet, tet nunayan. The letters of the month of Tishrei, the pei that created the planet Noga, the planet of Venus, Noga. And the Lamed that created the constellation. The constellation is known as Mosnaim, and it represents the Mosnaim, the scales. And the letters Pei and Lamed have a gematria of 110. When we add the concealed bet from the Pei to the 110, we have 112. And that allows us to recognize the river Yabok that Jacob crossed, which represents the unification of the physical world with the spiritual world known as heaven, and with the spiritual world above heaven known as Bina. That's through the names Echie, Hashem, and Adonai. 65, 4, 26, and 21 all add up to 112. Shavatenu Kabel, Shma Tziaka, and now we're reading the seven verses that we read, including the year energy of 57, 76, 75, and 74, commencing with 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Rach ha-kohanim ha-yu li-mat lo yatlu ha-sh-t-et-ko ha-olam Vavascum Ate Alegum Ad Kulot Amlacha Viad Yitadu Hakohanim Ki Halevim Yishre Levav Lehitadesh Me Hakohanim. And then we read the verse that comes from the head letters, the first letters of each of the words in that verse. Yo hey wa hey, la la hey, wa wa wa. Yo la yo, a la me. Hey hey hey, a ta a, bro ka ha. And now we're reading from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4, that confirms that this is the year. This is the year that is the pause, precious, while we turn to God, so that the when the chaos returns, as it will for those who don't, that we will be protected, that we will have the connection and not have to be concerned about the chaos. Bidhu Adonai Ade Ad Ubiya Adonai Tzu Olamim. Verse from 57:75. There are three of them, starting with Job, chapter 7:19. The energy of this year is to remove the angel of death. And for those who have not successfully completed that task, we have three verses that we say to keep moving forward and have him leave completely, so we don't have to have any chaos come back. Kamalo Samuel Aleph, chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu Mikol Mahavoyi Asurit Habesham Wichakim Eilai Elnahan Tehalani Wechayayim Yeshu Varet Vehipasti And the next verse is from Job chapter 20, verse 7, still in the energy of 57:75. And now the verse from 57:74 that will bring peace to the Middle East. And we have let ourselves down. We've missed some days, or must be something like that, because there was one rocket came out of Sinai, out of the south. So we need to keep up this second Samuel, chapter 7, verse 10. With some timakom your God, and now we are reading a verse from the Zohar from section 3 of Parasha Hazinu. We're reading Pasuk number 10. L'shem Yehud Kudshabarifu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Urchimu Udhilu Leachta L'shem Yud He Bavav He Biyehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Vayhi Noam Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konene Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenehu Tachat Zikut Shah Berihu kitapuach beit beyab tilat kegavnein ki kishoshana man shoshana amar rabbi abba shoshana sitam shoshana diat kalilat deshit tarpe shoshana da kegavne havayir visomach v'kolahu tirein kevavne sumach v'chi vavir hakiki. Come and see. The Holy One, blessed be He. He is like an apple that has in it three colors, white, red, and green, that indicate Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet. The congregation of Israel, who is Malchut, is like a lily. What is a lily? Rabbi Abba said it is a generic lily, a lily of six petals. The colors of such a lily are white and red, and it is all of two colors, red and white, that indicate judgment and Chesed. Such is the congregation of Israel, who is Malchut. My commentary. As we have indicated in previous classes and discussion of our Zohar classes, the color white represents the right column, or loving kindness and chesed. Red is the color of judgment and left column, or geburah. While green is the color of the central column, representing balance, or tiferet. In Malchut, the colors are also red and white, according to this Zohar Pasuk. This aspect takes some thinking. Malchut has no light of its own. When it is fulfilled, it has the energy of white, or mercy, or loving kindness. When it is in a state of lack, it is considered red, or being in the frame of judgment. Does anybody have any questions? Today's class is continuing our teachings about the holidays. You can find the handout for today's class in the Revealed Wisdom link in the matrix. Scroll down to the matrix to row 8, second column from the left. You can open up row 8, that link from the second column, and it will open you up to a page that's called Tishrei Hagim, class number 2. And it will open you up to a section titled The 10 Days of Repentance. And we have discussed that already, about each day in these 7 days, like this is Sunday, and whatever actions we do this Sunday is going to impact those days. Jewish tradition teaches that there are three critical tools to make our appeal successful. What is our appeal? Our appeal is to have a better year this coming year than we had this year. And the three tools are teshuvah, tefillah, and utzadakah. Teshuvah is repentance. It's returning the hay of the physical world that we separated through our negative actions. And we need to return by doing teshuvah, return those negative actions into positive actions through teshuvah. And tefillah is prayer. We have many prayers leading up to Yom Kippur. We have prayers that help us in our teshuvah, in our cleansing. And we have tzedakah. And tzedakah is a tool that is very important to utilize. It's charity. By reaching into our pocket and going outside of our comfort zone, from spending time in helping other people, by doing good deeds, we help. It's a tool that brings us to a place of cleansing that elevates us so that we can have a better year than this past year. I'm scrolling down from that bolded section because we've covered it, and we have a lot to cover today. Most of us have done the Tashlich ritual, but which is written here by Rabbi Bar Sadok, but always remember that the Kabbalists do their Tashlich on the day of Hoshana Rabbah. Usually they go to a mikveh or to an open water pool, just like everybody else does on Rosh Hashanah. Why do you do it on the first day? It's the Keter. Why do you do it on the Malchut or the 10th day or the Hoshana Rabbah? Because it is the Malchut representing the opportunity. After you've cleansed everything, it's your last opportunity on Hoshana Rabbah. The Kabbalists wait till do it then. Others do it on the first day. Yom Kippur preparation. The delight of Yom Kippur from the Salant Foundation. The prophet Isaiah admonished Klal Yisrael for being downhearted on Yom Kippur. Is such gloom the fast that I have chosen? Is the purpose of the day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under his feet? What is this criticism of Isaiah? Yom Kippur is a time of judgment, isn't it? A time of fasting, isn't it? And repentance, isn't it? Isn't the focus of the day to reflect on one's misdeeds and shortcomings and to feel a sense of despair? Actually, it is not this at all. And that is explained in the next passage of Isaiah. Learn from the prophets. Yom Kippur is a day of joy, a day of five big meals. Wait, I'm fasting. How can I be eating? You're eating spiritual meals. The amidahs that you do on Yom Kippur are enhanced, are designed to elevate you up, up, up to Bina. But if you're sad, you're never going to get to Bina. Listen to the prophet. In the next passage, Isaiah explains what should take place on Yom Kippur. The purpose of this fast that I have chosen to loosen fetters of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Yom Kippur is a time of liberation. It provides us with the opportunity to extricate ourselves from negativity and selfishness. If we open our hearts to the power of Yom Kippur and fill our souls with goodness and kindness, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your healing shall quickly spring forth. What day do we celebrate Yom Kippur? Of course, it is the 10th of Tishrei. Let's see what the Torah says. The Torah deliberately writes that Yom Kippur takes place on the 9th of Tishrei, even though the actual date of observance is the 10th of Tishrei. by associating the previous day, the ninth, which is Tuesday, to Yom Kippur, the Torah is telling us that anyone who partakes of a festive meal on the ninth is considered as if he fasted on both the ninth and the tenth. What he's saying is the more that you eat on Monday night and Tuesday, the more you eat, it's counted as fasting. 2 days of fasting, just like there's 2 days of Yom Kippur. In the same spirit of the prophet, this verse teaches that Yom Kippur is a time of joy and celebration, a festive meal. This verse teaches that Yom Kippur is a time of joy and celebration, for there is no greater happiness than forgiveness and redemption. The purpose of the service of Hashem and repentance is true joy and delight, although certain aspects of our observance evoke remorse. This is the means and not the end. Through proper appreciation and fulfillment of the Yom Kippur procedure, our spirits are cleansed, our souls elevated, and our hearts filled with delight. The following information comes from the writings of the Rabbi Luria, the most important Kabbalist in the last 600 years. During the eve of Yom Kippur, Malchut is totally sawed from Zeranpin. They're totally separated. She begins her elevation towards Ima, towards Bina. This is actually a repetition of the Tzimtzum, only limiting to the frame of reference for this particular year. In other words, you can get to Bina on Yom Kippur by having 2 days of fast. You can get to Bina, the energy store, where you can decide what your year ahead will be. But Bina, Malchut, is separated from Zeranpin. That's why there's no sex, because there can be no sex in the spiritual world. And that's two of the five components of the fasting, Givorot. During this elevation, Malchut takes the five Givorot, which are metaphorically the five final letters, referred to as Mansapach, Mem Nun Sadi Pev Kaf Sofit. With her on the rise to Ima, the Mansapach have a relationship to the five restrictions that we employ on Yom Kippur. No drinking or food, no sexual relations, no washing, no perfuming, and no leather shoes. The ninth of Tishrei has some special rituals, since it is the last time that the community can do Slichot together prior to Yom Kippur. It is also taught by the sages that the more we eat this day, it is like we are fasting a second day, adding to our elevation on Yom Kippur. Many people have the custom of participating in the Kapparot ritual and then eating that chicken as their meal prior to the fast. Let's discuss the Kapparot. If you live in a large Jewish community, somewhere in that community there is somebody who's doing the kapparot. He's taking a chicken, a male chicken for every man, a female chicken for every woman. And if a woman is pregnant or thinks she's pregnant, there are three chickens for her. One for herself, the female. One for the potential baby that is female, and one for the potential baby that is male. And she waves, or he waves, these chickens over her head, three times saying a specific prayer. Now, I don't do pickings in this community where I'm living in Atlanta, but I do elevate and exchange money. And I will do that for all of my students who want to send me their names. And listen closely for the names, because there's not a lot of time just between now and Tuesday morning around 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I will do the ritual. I need your first name. I need your father's first name. And if it's for the baby, you don't yet know the name, so you say, boy baby, or girl baby, or both. Now, the amount of that I elevate is 5 silver coins. And these 5 silver coins that I swing around their house, around my head, is taking all of the giverot, all of the judgments that transferring from the name that I mentioned through the ritual of the prayer and the swinging of the chicken or the raising of the money, the silver money. It's transferring your giverot, your judgment that would normally be generated on Yom Kippur. For the whole year, it's transferring these judgments away from you and onto the money, onto the chickens. The word chicken in Hebrew is gever, which means another word, another meaning of the word gever is man. You're transferring these judgments from your soul to the soul of the chicken, to the tzedakah or the charity that you're giving. And so I will do it. Send me your names. But because of timing, we can do your tzedakah, your donation, somewhat a few days later. In your email, tell me what amount you're going to make as your donation so that I can include that in the consciousness and elevate them. Tell me the timing of when I will receive those donations. That Kaparot ritual, I highly recommend. Why? Because you haven't cleansed yourself sufficiently. Maybe you have. Maybe you don't need to do this. But just in case, I know I always do it, just in case. And then we have, after this fast, the start of the fast, we do a song called Kol Nidre. It's a very strange song. It's a night where everybody comes. The most times, the greatest attendance is on Kol Nidre night. In this case, it will be Tuesday night. Why is it the most attended synagogue event? It's very simple. Because on Kol Nidre, the community called Klal Yisrael, the community of all of the people, say a vow. They ask permission to pray with the community, even though they are a sinner. That's what Kol Nidre is saying. Because the community can't pray with a sinner without asking for this on Kol Nidre, not recognizing that we are sinners, that we may not be so cleansed. But there is somebody in that community that is praying Kol Nidre, singing Kol Nidre. There is one person in that community that is cleansed. We don't know who it is, but by that person being cleansed, and by us joining in unity with that person, we are considered cleansed by the heavenly tribunals. And that's what transfers us from that middle book, the book of the Benoni, the book of someone who's neither totally evil or totally righteous. That's what transfers us to the book of life. If you cannot hear, you cannot go to a synagogue, in our wonderful frame, in our wonderful technology, there are many places that allow us to listen to this song, to play with the community, to make these phrases and pray with the community, where we can become cleansed, because someone in that prayer group, in that Klal Yisrael somewhere in the world, everyone is praying. It cleanses us. And that we're given permission to pray through the whole year as a sinner, as Klal Yisrael. I'm going back now, to having explained it, to reinforce it with this reading. When one makes a vow and does not perform it, one damages the bravo level that comes from Zeranpin to Malchut. During the 23 days of the Hagim, Zeranpin is beside, not above, Malchut. To achieve Zivug or unification, it takes three items in preparation. One is the breath, one is the hug, and one is a kiss. To correct the kiss, one should hug the Torahs as they make their way around the congregation and meditate that Zeranpin is hugging the Nukva with Chesed and Givurah, your right and left arms. This starts the beneficence from Zeranpin to Malchut. Then one should kiss the Torah and meditate that the breath is being transferred by your mouth, by the mouth of Zeranpin to the mouth of the Nukva. Also meditate that the merit of the Torah scroll will correct the drops of Keri, the wasted seed, and will elevate the light of the drops out of the Klipa and back to the holiness. Also meditate the hugging of the Torah scroll corrects all of the unfilled vows and oaths that you have taken during the day, during this past year. And remember, you can say the Netarim, the removal of the vows, you can say it during Tuesday. Find a synagogue that's doing that. Or if not, meditate that there's a tribunal of spirits in front of you, three of them, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and use the words that you say to them and listen for their words back to you to remove all of your vows and oaths. And then say the verse, Or Zaru ala tzadik. Because the last letters of these words spell the word Kra, Kuf Resh Ayin, which means to tear up the negativity and elevate all of the sparks back to Yesod. Then say, Ul Yishrei Lev Simcha. Or Tzaruach Latzadik. Ul Yishrei Lev Simcha. The last letters have a gematria of 17, which makes it Tov, good. and that means yesod becomes good due to the elevation of these sparks. Or tzarua latzadik, o yishrelev simcha. The letters are yud, hey, bet. 17. Tov. This is why people come. They don't go to synagogue all year long. They're not part of the community all year long. But that day, their soul knows. Their soul knows to get them to a synagogue. Whether you're Jewish or whether you're a child of Israel, they know. They feel that lack. Learn this well. We wear the talit katan, which is bina of asiya, the night of Yom Kippur, along with the talit gadol, which is bina of beriah, to represent the surrounding lights that will be elevated to cosmic bina as you elevate your consciousness to cosmic bina. This is needed on this one night a year, the only time we wear the talit at night. And we say Baruch Shem Kavod. Baruch Shem Kavod, that phrase that we say quietly all year long on Yom Kippur, we say it out loud. Are you getting a sense of why Yom Kippur is so special? And to understand why we say it out loud, we need to know why we say this phrase silently all other times. Shem is a code name for Malchut. Malchut is exposed to the Klipot, except when it elevates to Bina. The Klipot live. And so we say it silently so the Klipot don't hear it. And make it, and stay away within it. But on Yom Kippur, the Klipot are not active. So we get to say them. When the Klipot, when Malchut elevates to Bina, on Yom Kippur, the Klipot are not active. And we can elevate all of the sparks that they leave behind because they're not active. Every Jewish soul knows about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the Day of the Five Afflictions. Why the Five Afflictions? So the body, which is the klipot of your soul. It's the covering of your soul. Oh, I look great. I'm an important person. I have a body. As long as you feel that you have a body and that your body is you, you're making a mistake. Your body isn't you. Your body and your soul together is you. And on Yom Kippur, the Klipot are not active. So we afflict the body with the five afflictions, causing ourselves to be able to rise all the way to Bina through the five meals. People think they know about Yom Kippur, but actually they have no idea of the true essence of this holiday. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 48, it indicates that this fast is not about being sad and repentant, as is usually the case that people do. When we fast on Yom Kippur, we're happy because the Klipot are not active. It is about joy and happiness, as we will explain below. Let's look at Kol Nidre again. It's a similar exercise as Hadarat Nedarim, which we do prior to Yom Rosh Hashanah, but also prior to Yom Kippur, prior two other times as well. 40 days before Rosh Hashanah, which is the 17th of Av, and 40 days before Yom Kippur, which is Rosh Chodesh Elul, we do Hadarat Nedarim. And there are minyans that do it every Friday before Shabbat. So much to learn, so much to do, so much to grow into. And this is about your year. It's not that God writes you in the book and you're in the book of the middle guy, or God forbid, the book of the Rasha. It's not that God writes you in the book. In fact, the Talmud only mentions the book of life, because everyone who comes to Kol Nidre and everyone has done their spiritual work, they get written. They get written in the book of life. Yom Kippur is the ultimate cleansing, the ultimate rise to Bina, cosmic Bina, the only time of the year that you're able to reach cosmic Bina. Kol Nidre, the phrase that I told you to say, that you'll say from the Siddur, the Maksor, why is it written in Aramaic? What's the difference between the Kol Nidre and the Hadaret Nedarim? Hadarat Nedarim voids the vows that are made in the physical world. But yet, before we incarnated into this world, we made other vows, spiritual vows. Vows like, I will achieve my tikkun in this lifetime. Vows like, I will become a tzaddik or a tzaket deket during this lifetime. Kol Nidre absolves the soul of any of these vows not yet fulfilled. That is why so many people who never go to a minyan come to hear Kol Nidre each year. Kol Nidre is said in the Aramaic language because, as the Kabbalists explain, the angels do not understand Aramaic. Therefore, they are unable to interfere with the voiding of the vows, which is done for only a one-year period. We also learn from this that our tikkunim can be completed within 1 year. And that is your intention. When you reach cosmic Bina and you start to meditate and plan your year and change the year, God doesn't write your year. You do with what your consciousness is all during the 25, 26 hours of Yom Kippur. Learn this well. Try and maintain your consciousness focused. What is your gear going to be? It's up to you. Have you learned? Are you willing to try? Remember, you take the first step. Hashem will proceed and make sure you get all of the rest of it. During the Torah readings, we read Leviticus chapter 16, which is the parasha of Acharei Mot, after death. It's talking about the death of Avihu, Nadav and Avihu. The Haftorah we read is chapter 57 from Isaiah and chapter 58. In the Mincha prayer, we read chapter 18 of Leviticus. And the Haftorah is the book of Yonah. The book of Yonah is a description of how the soul comes from heaven down into the physical body. Much to learn, much to be aware of, much to, what do I know? I'm going to go crazy with all of this consciousness, with all of this kavanot. How can I do all of this? Nobody can keep their attention focused for 26 hours. And the answer is yes, you can. Because all you have to do is start. Some will assist you in the completion. And we're not talking about your consciousness on the lower level. We're talking about your unconscious. Hashem, when you start your conscious, Hashem will keep your unconscious focused. He will write you because you have earned it in the book of life. For that day, you are a righteous person. And then there are 4 days until Sukkot, which we'll talk about later. But during those 4 days, you cannot sin because you're so busy doing mitzvot after mitzvah after mitzvah. You're building a sukkah. You're moving your stuff into the sukkah to dwell. You're planning, you're decorating the sukkah. How much there is to do. Mitzvot. You are a righteous person, and that's why we wear white on that day. The Kabbalists wear white on every Shabbat. I'm getting some static, so I'd appreciate if you press star 6. Thank you. If you want to ask a question, just press star 6 a second time, and we will hear you. Chapter 16, we read about the actions of the high priest on Yom Kippur. This is of Leviticus. Chapter 18 is the list of sexual prohibitions, which the Kabbalists teach us are related to the Sefirot and how they interact with each other. And they're not the literal meaning. It never says, do not have homosexual sex. It says, do not lie with a man like you woman. That is an abomination. That's not homosexual sex. That's how the male side of the Sefirot are told not to connect to each other, but only to their female counterpart. The book of Jonah deals with a prophet who does not want to deliver his message to the other parts of humanity, city of Tarshish, the other end of the world from where he was told to go. The other end of the world is your physical body. The other end of the world is from heaven down to the physical body in the womb. The story of Jonah. Coming to the big fish, the Storna, is learning how to live in the physical world, how your soul lives in the physical world. Continuing to read, a deeper Kabbalistic insight into the readings. Readings on Yom Kippur, chapter 16, chapter 18. Come from the parasha of Acharei Mot. The name of the parasha is the most revealing. It is after death. What comes after death? Mashiach. What comes poor? Each person is totally cleansed, providing you do all of the rituals, providing you make the effort. We have reached the level of the tzaddikim. We are righteous. We are written in the book of life. But what will you do with that life? Will you achieve your tikkun? What will you do on Yom Kippur? Will you change yourself? Will you dress in white? Will you reach out to Hashem for help? Remember, becoming a tzaddik means to do the right thing. Chapter 18. The highest revelation of goodness in this world is the bringing of children. But if you're past menopause, what does it mean to have intimacy with your mate? You're creating children in the spiritual world. Why aren't you aware of this? Why aren't you keeping your consciousness when you're intimate with your mate? Bringing your consciousness to bear on drawing righteous children into the world. Righteous souls. They're called care converts. What happens during the reading of Isaiah? This reading is a vaccine against our normal human response to fasting. Why do we fast on Yom Kippur? We are limiting our connection to the physical world so that we can rise to the spiritual level of Bina. If we do not know this information, then the reason we fast is because God commands it. And this is idol worship, as the Zohar explains. This reading assists us in fasting for the reasons that will disconnect us from the physical world. And then the book of Jonah. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that the book of Jonah is a description of the journey of the soul from the spiritual world to the physical world, and then through the resurrection of the dead, leading to the time of Mashiach. He teaches that the spitting out of Jonah by the big fish is related to the resurrection of the dead. In my opinion, it is also a vaccine against seeking a shortcut through the process of life and making our tikkun. We know that seeking shortcuts usually leads to lengthening our life process. Jonah is sent to give a prophecy to the city of Nineveh. He runs to the city of Tarshish, the other end of the world, to avoid giving the prophecy. But the prophecy is about Teshuvah. Nineveh has a gematria of 121. Tarshish is spelled two ways in the book of Jonah. One of the ways has a gematria of 1210, 121 times 10. The other has a final hey, which means, according to Kabbalah, the physical world. 1210 is 10 times 121. This means that Tarshish's completed structure of 10 sephirot with respect to Nineveh, perhaps Jonah wanted to shorten the process by going to Tarshish and complete the process that has a code word, Nineveh. Nineveh is spelled as Nun, fully spelled Yud-He. This suggests the idea of the falling upper worlds. Tarshish, when spelled with the final A, suggests the completion of the upper worlds. This is my opinion. The normal explanation is that Jonah did not want to do what Hashem said. This does not make sense to me, because a prophet is a very high level of consciousness. It is difficult for the prophet to conceive of a prophet not wanting to follow Hashem's directions. Also, I think Jonah wanted to shorten the completion to reach that consciousness of the resurrection of the dead. And another idea that's not written here is that after Nineveh did teshuvah and the decree was lifted, they weren't going to be destroyed, Jonah gets upset and he goes and he sits down under a tree. And what is this teaching us? It's teaching us the relationship between the children of Israel and the children of Noah. The resurrection of the dead happens. And each person will become saved, will become elevated. But that process could take many lifetimes unless we learn the truth that we can resurrect the dead ourselves. We can heal ourselves. But not, I can't heal myself. I can heal you. And you can heal me. This is the resurrection of the dead. The Nila prayer, the last prayer of Yom Kippur, when the gates are closing in a very slow, methodical way. And we say seven times the phrase, Hashem Hu Elohim, Hashem Hu Elohim. We will cover that class tomorrow night at 7:00. This class will continue all day tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Tonight's class, there's another class at 4:00. Excuse me, 1:00. We will learn all about Shabbat. It's the 18th class of the basic class here in Atlanta. Do you think the timing is propitious? Come join us. 4:00. Learn more about Shabbat. 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, Monday afternoon. Prepare for Yom Kippur. Come learn more Zohar for our mini Zohar class. Yes, there is a class Monday night at 7:00. We will continue to teach about Yom Kippur and this phrase that has a whole class unto itself. Hashem Hu Elohim. Tuesday, there will not be a class. There will only be the ritual of Kaparot, your final aspect. Send me your email if you want me to do it for you. Yom Kippur starts at sundown Tuesday. Thursday at 4:30 will be a mini Zohar class. At 7:00, a longer Zohar class. Next Saturday at 8:00. I don't believe it has become a connection to daylight savings time yet. So we're still at 8:00 for those of you who made the mistake last night. Come listen to the Zohar class for the Parasha of Zot Bracha. Zot, the unification of Zeranpin and Malchut, which receives blessings. Zot Bracha. Next Sunday, at 10:30 in the morning, we will have a class on Sukkot. and Shmini Atzeret. And Simcha Torah, the final 3 days, because Sukkot starts Sunday night. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, Hanok, I have a question.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
I just want to clarify about eating double portions on between Monday night and all day Tuesday. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
The more you eat that day, the more it's counted as you fasting.
Oh, okay. And the next day, of course, is, you know, all day fast.
That's correct. A 26-hour fast. It starts at sundown, approximately 7 o'clock, a little bit after 7. In Atlanta, you need to check in the location you're in. And it goes all the way to 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, depending on where you are.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that that was not about the fasting, but about eating.
You heard me correctly. The more you eat Monday night to Tuesday, there's no calories, there's no gaining weight, because you can't step on the scale on Yom Kippur, so you didn't gain any weight. The more you eat,
okay.
It's considered as if you, the more you fasted.
Thank you, Hanok.
Yep. Any other questions? Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.